You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallan, Sallan.com. That's S like in serve. Or tweet me at Bruce Allen. Our next segment is Teen Rap, and I'm happy to welcome our new sponsor for this segment, the Wright Center for Orthodontics, with offices in both Santa Barbara and Camarillo. Dr. Wright, I hope you're still recovering well from your recent injury. Their number is 805-68-SMILE. That's 805-68-SMILE. I am honored and pleased to introduce our next guest, Jeff Pulver, who is joining us for Teen Rap. Pastor Drew will be back with us next week. Jeff has been called a habitual entrepreneur who likes to start internet communication companies. He is known globally for creating the company that later became Vonage, as well as the architect behind the genesis of Free World Dial-Up. In his own words, Mr. Pulver sums himself up by saying, "These days, I'm a technology anthropologist. I look to invest in making the dreams of early stage startups come true. My preference is high tech." Now the worlds of high-tech and highbrow entertainment have merged as part of his 140 Characters Conference, named for the 140 character limit on Twitter tweets, held in New York City, Los Angeles, London, and now even Israel. The Los Angeles Conference is coming up October 4th and 5th. Welcome to the Bruce Allen Show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. As my show is about parenting, and you have been an internet guru since before I even knew what it was, I would love for you to share some of your experiences as a dad with your kids on the internet.
I have twin sons, they're now 16, and when they were 3 years old, the controversy in the house at the time is whether or not to let them go on the internet and explore and discover. And my kids, when they were still in diapers, they were surfing the web, literally. And we set them up with PBS.org as the homepage. And during the course of the year between ages 3 and 4, they taught themselves Internet English, which is different than, you know, the English that we speak. But they actually, by the time they were turning 4, they were able to go on Yahoo's site and search on Pokemon. And they never quite understood the nav bar with the greater than sign, so they would actually put the word in more space Pokemon and try to navigate. But it was pretty amazing to watch these kids grow. And one of the side effects of this was that before preschool, we never figured out how come some weeks our kids preferred McDonald's over Wendy's or Burger King for drive-thru. And it turns out somewhere along the way, they bookmarked these various fast food restaurants in their own bookmark. And they would actually check the screens to figure out who had the best giveaway for the kids.
Ah, that's just fantastic.
So this is like street smarts, real young.
That's so interesting. Now, two things you said that raise questions for me. Number one, you said a controversy. So that implies that you and your wife may have thought differently on it. And question two, answer however you'd like, is given that they were on the internet so young, does that mean they watched less television?
They definitely watched less television, but yet if you saw how they learned how to interact with the web, you'd think they were actually being influenced by commercials. They're at a time, they certainly watched a lot of videos, though. We had a lot of Thomas the Tank Engine videos and Sesame Street videos, which they went through. But you know, the controversy was whether or not to let them, you know, navigate and explore. I mean, we had, you know, games and stuff for them to play on the computer. But it was, you know, it was definitely a debate in terms of whether or not to give them free rein. But what was interesting to me, anyway, was my son Jake started this thing about dot-comming where he would see a noun. I mean, he would see an object and want to go to the .com of that object. And this, you know, it started out when we were talking about video. There's a big difference, by the way, at least at the time, between video.com and videos.com. But what precipitated all this was we had Thomas the Tank Engine wooden trains. And one day my son Jake said, "Daddy, I want to go to thomasthetankengine.com." And, you know, he couldn't spell it out, but I typed it in for him. And he saw the website at the time, and he saw other train tracks and other trains and stuff, which just continued his fascination. And once he was able to do that, for a long time, my kids would .com. They'd see something, hear something, and want to go to the natural .com of it. And even for their birthdays, you know, I actually used to actually have a birthday card set up where each year I updated it. But happy birthday, Dylan and Jake.com was what they wanted to go to one year. That was turned out that was 26 characters, and you only could have 23. So I ended up creating a website called happybirthdaydylanjake.com, and that lasted for a long time.
That's wonderful.
It's just part of that whole experience, and it's you know, it's this language which they learn and teach. And so I was never fearful about my kids stumbling across the dark side of the Internet when they were young. They were not communicating with the outside world, and we have certain policies about not talking with strangers. And my kids were very young. They were blogging by the time they were 8 years old. And, you know, but we had a very specific strategy about not to engage with strangers. But, you know, as my kids got a little bit older, and they were, you know, they discovered their own passions, be it music or now sneakers. My kids now have a sneaker blog called Solecamp, SoleCamp.com. And if you're into sneaker culture, it's a pretty darn good blog. And
fascinating.
And so, you know, now they're on chat boards, and now they're in all sorts of activities, from gaming or from music. And, you know, they seem to understand the distance between, you know, reality and life and the dark side. And so I don't have any filters in my home computers. I don't you know, track where they go or don't go, but, you know, I'm pretty much aware of where things are. I mean, I was on Facebook and Twitter before my kids.
You were on everything before everyone.
But specifically that, so the whole concept of a dad friending his kids or his kids friending the dad, that awkwardness didn't go by. But I do not write on my kids' walls. I do not pry into their social space. I don't comment on their friends', you know, wall posts and stuff. I separate, and I allow that distance to be there, because I think that, you know, I want to respect my kids for who they are as people too, and I don't want anyone to think that their parents are overlooking on their shoulders.
Well, it's the same thing as going through their stuff. It's
right.
Like, you know, I never got over the fact my mother once went through my drawers and found whatever it was I wasn't supposed to have. I just felt my privacy was so invaded. This is just a modern example of it.
Right. But as far as firewalls go, you know, what's interesting is, you know, growing up, you know, we had firewalls as kids. These days, you know, in home, you say the word firewall, and people who are, you know, internet savvy or network savvy might think that you're talking about like a Cisco firewall or like a firewall. But in the days growing up, it was parents. You know, if I wanted to go out on a date or call a girl, if I had to actually call her on a telephone, and it was, whether her sister, her brother, or her parents picked up the phone, it was always very hard. One of the biggest challenges we have as parents today in terms of filtering is not even so much about content on the Internet, but how people communicate and the back channel that exists now, because most kids have mobile devices. And even if we want to, you know, that firewall between kids and kids no longer is present. And so, you know, if I want to reach out, if I don't have to go through someone's parents anymore to reach the kids that live in the house. And there's, you know, a lot of issues, I think, in terms of availability to connect and to communicate, which we can't really protect too much. And it's, you know, it's there. But in terms of, you know, internet stuff, I fully respect and understand why so many people are concerned with privacy, why so many people are concerned about other things. I mean, I actually am too. For a very open person, if you saw me on Facebook, you would never see one picture of my kids ever. I have not included in any of my Facebook photos any photos of my kids. Now they're 16. I mean, if you Google for them, you'll find them through some events we've been to together, but you're not going to see anything that I put in my blog or anything that I've ever put on Twitter or anything that I've ever put on Facebook. So I actually believe in privacy too, and I'm also very protective in a very open, loving kind of way.
Jeff, we're almost out of time. I think one of the things you said that is, to me, an evergreen I'm going to use quoting you is the notion that the parent is the filter. That's amazing. But since we're almost out of time, why don't you tell us a little bit about the 140 conference coming up in L.A. and why people should come to it?
If you're involved with the Internet today, no matter what line of business you're working in, the web is changing the way you work and live. The evolution of what I call the real-time web is connecting people in ways never before foreseen possible, and is disrupting some businesses, disintermediating others. And it's a place also where people are connecting on a very soulful level. It's like, I believe that the more digital we become, the more we need to have face-to-face meetings. And at the 140 conference, the two things that I got out of it in the past year and a half are the words serendipity and humanity. We just share it and we discover it. And if people were to check out lax.140conf.com, they'll see what it's all about. It's a two-day event happening in early October at the Music Box Theater.
Jeff, it's been a total pleasure having you on. I would be honored to have you again. I feel we just touched the surface of what you can offer our listeners. And I look forward to seeing you October 4th and 5th.
I look forward to seeing you too. Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure. It's time for another break. I want to again thank the Wright Center for Orthodontics for sponsoring this segment of the Bruce Allen Show. They are the orthodontics office that cares. Call them at 805-68-SMILE and say the Bruce Allen sent you. You can tweet me at Bruce Allen or email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. This is the Bruce Allen Show. We'll be back for single-parent dating with Julie Spira.